Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to Him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, He has sought to reveal Himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent His love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of Him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that He may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14 verses 8 and 9. In describing His earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4 verse 18. This was His work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for He had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of His divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of His life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that He might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach Him. Even the little children were attracted to Him. They loved to climb upon His knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but He uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in His intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in His voice as He uttered His scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city He loved, which refused to receive Him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected Him, the Savior, but He regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in His eyes. While He ever bore Himself with divine dignity, He bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men He saw fallen souls whom it was His mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in His life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory, to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth, of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man! Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Thank you. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, this is Sister Paola again, and I just wish everyone a blessed night and asking our brothers and sisters to press number one that you can share. Our dear Sister Leola is the host tonight, but she will be here shortly. So I'm just picking up for her for a little period of time. Brothers and sisters, our encouraging word to you that to be faithful. We know we are in the last days. We have been seeing perilous times ahead of us. But if we be faithful and trust God, God is able to carry us too. We have this little quote here mentioned, last day event. And I also have a little reading here about this last day that we are in. It says, should anyone dishonor God by imagining that he would not respond to the appeals of his children? We know we can honor God because he always responds to us. Sometimes he say yes, and sometimes he say no. So we know when he gave us the right answer and what he knows best what we need. He said, the Holy Spirit, the representative of himself, is the greatest of all gifts. And we know he gave us this. He told his disciples, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be your comforter to reveal to you and to bring back things to your remembrance. So we thank God for this gift that he has given unto us. And we know that is the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. Please let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us be faithful. Let us really trust and let us be obedient. All good things are comprised in this. The Creator himself can give us nothing greater, nothing better when we beseech the Lord to teach his Lord to pity us in our distress and to guide us by his Holy Spirit. He will never turn away our prayer. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 50 thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. This comes from the Mount of Blessing, 133. The measure of the Holy Spirit we receive will be proportional to the measure of our desire and the faith exercised for it. We can be assured that we should receive the Holy Spirit if we individually try. If we individually try the experiment of testing God's word in the heavenly places. So, brothers and sisters, for us to receive the Holy Spirit, we have to feed on God's word. We have to be in our closet in prayer. Secret prayer closet, close that door, and go in and present our requests to him and our need for him, because if there is no other time we need him now. And as I was reading, my dear brother, I'm asking you to press number one, because my dear brothers and sisters, if you're hearing me, I will open some lines. It said, God is just as well as merciful. We heard him, and we heard the reading a while ago, that he is merciful. He is ready to give us the Holy Spirit. It said, it is the glory of God to be merciful, right? That is why he showed his character to Moses. And that is the character God wants us to have, right? Merciful, full of forbearance, kindness, goodness, and truth. But the justice showed the perishing, the shown in punishing the sinner is a very, verily the glory of the Lord as he has manifested his mercy. So, brothers and sisters, God wants to pour his Holy Spirit upon us. And we know, as we have read, that he is merciful, right? His goodness, his kindness, his truth, his long-suffering, and all that is the character of Jesus. So all we have to do, you know, ask, and it shall be received unto his seek, and it shall be found. And it says, the Lord God of Israel is to execute judgment. A lot of us said, no, our merciful God cannot execute judgment upon the gods of this earth or upon the gods of Egypt with fire and flood. We saw what the Lord have done with fire. We saw what he had done with flood and all these things. All we have to do, my dear brothers and sisters, to be faithful to him, to be obedient, to study his word, because we know we have a merciful Father. And tonight we have some praise report, and we are how merciful and how good he is and how kind he is and what he is doing for each one of his children. And if we call upon him, he says, I will hear them. So, my dear brother and sister, I'm going to start opening the line. Welcome everyone on this line again. Thank you for joining Advent Light. And I am going to start opening the line. I'm Sister Powell, and have a blessed evening, and let us start our program. Okay. 518-744, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Powell. It's good to hear your voice. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and wow, what a beautiful weekend we had as far as spiritual things go. You know, the weather was not very good, but you know what? God has been good, and we had a young man preaching in a church yesterday, 18 years old, and well, what a powerful sermon he gave. And, you know, God is using those young people, so we just want to encourage all of our young people to continue seeking the Lord, and if they will, and if they do, God will give them his Holy Spirit, and they will be able to do a mighty work for him. Just an encouragement to the young people, and we need to keep them in prayer. I'd like to keep my children in prayer, and especially Ashley. I haven't seen her in a little while. She was doing quite well, but still not coming to church. And, you know, I just would love to see her coming to church and seeking the Lord, because that is the only way that she is ever going to make a full recovery. You know, the worldly counselors talk to these people and just tell them, you know, you'll never be able to make a full recovery from addictions, and we know that's not true. With Christ, all things are possible, and so I just love to see her come and hear that word that Christ can free us. We don't have to live in fear of going back into addictions or anything else. If Christ will set us free, then we will be free indeed. So just please pray for Ashley. And also all of my children. I have 6 children total, and Emily is the last one home. She will be leaving in October, getting married, and then leaving home. So we're kind of a little bit sad about that, because she is the very last one. But we're also looking forward to having a little more freedom to go and do some things that we would like to do also. So it's kind of a, it's a good thing, but, you know, we're just a little bit sad about it, but, you know, God will provide. So just thanking the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And, sister, you were talking about us being faithful, and, you know, Satan is trying to discourage all of us, and, I must admit that there are days when I do get a little discouraged. But you know what? When I start to get discouraged, I just have to take a moment to think of what God has done for me just recently, not even in the far past, but just in the recent past. And he has been so good, so gracious, so kind and merciful and loving. And, you know, when I start thinking of that, that discouragement fades, and I can continue on my work for him. And I know that he is taking care of all things. So just encouraging the brothers and sisters, you know, if Satan comes in and tries to discourage you, just think of the goodness of God. Just in the past few days or weeks, you know, things God has done for you. And, you know, that discouragement will lift, and we'll be able to continue on with the work that he has set before us. So please don't get discouraged. If you do, call one of the members of the Advent prayer line, and you know what? Any of us can lift you up in prayer, and God will take care of those times. He will give us renewed strength. I think Isaiah 40, they will renew our strength like eagles and be able to soar again and do God's work. So just encouraging my brothers and sisters, and hoping that everyone is having a blessed day. It is rainy here in Fort Ann, but you know what? God is good. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. And so just praising the Lord for that, sister. And thank you for opening my line. I hope you are doing well. Continue praying for my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. Please pray for me. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Sister Powell, I see you took that Brother Rick off. Sister Powell, Sister Leola is on now. Brothers and sisters, I don't hear Sister Powell. Sister Powell, are you there? Hold on. You have Sister Powell line drop.
I am here, Brother Rick finished, and I was just up there. You hear me?
Okay, we couldn't hear you.
Okay, I am here.
We can hear you now. Sister Powell?
I am here, Sister Leola. You're not hearing?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, yes, we just want to thank Brother Rick for joining this evening and also sharing, and for that. We are praying for our young people, so that our young people will be moved, our young people will be inspired, so that they can carry out the gospel message. And also, Brother Rick, you had mentioned the discouragement. Sometimes, yes, we are discouraged, but we know that we have a Father who says, cast all our burden and our care towards him. Because as we have read a while ago, we said we are coming up to the thought that it discouragement, as we read it a while ago, but our Heavenly Father is there to keep us. And we know that our Father is merciful of forbearance in his kindness, his goodness, and his truth that strengthen us by faith. So he can do all things, so we just have to trust him. So thank you, my dear brother Rick, Elder Rick, for coming and for joining and also sharing. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this line. 518-650-969, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good afternoon. Sister Powell, thank you for opening my line.
Amen.
My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York.
Amen.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As a burden pressed and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As a daylight fades into deep night shades, does he cares enough to be near? I know he cares, oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my my Savior cares. Just cares when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. It is odd to him does he care. I know he cares, oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When my days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I know he cares, oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days go weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Jesus cares.
Amen, amen, he cares.
Oh God, I've got to read Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hand in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Lord, my soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there no water is. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And the days go weary and the long nights dreary. I know my Jesus cares. When you pass from before you deceive me, I just want to thank you for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, oh God, for your guidance, for your protection throughout the day. And as I'm here now, God, having my worship, I just put myself into your hand, Heavenly Father. I'm asking you to anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Build an edge around me, Lord. If there's anything in me that is unlike you, please remove it so that my prayer can come up to you as sweet incense. And the blessing will come down and bless me. Into your hand I put everything, Lord. You're a mighty and a powerful God. You're awesome. You're miraculous. You're wonderful. You're more than worthy to be praised, Lord. As I come on this prayer line, I put it into your hand, dear Father. With all of us, along with our families, I'm asking you, O God, to take full control. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bless us, guard us, guide us, protect us, keep us from the enemy. Keep us from the hands of the unrighteous and cruel man who is trying to take away your people, oh God. Lord, help us to hold fast to you, to cry out to you, Lord, and to be a living example, and to be among you, Lord, so that you can bless us and cause your light to shine upon us. Lord, time is short. Your coming is near, oh God, so help us, Jesus, not to be getting ready, but Lord Jesus, to be ready, help us, oh God. Coming is near. So many things are happening, Lord. So many disasters all around the world, all over the world in diverse places, Lord. God, everybody should know and should see the nearness of your coming. So God help us not to be getting ready, but to ready and stay ready, Lord, because it's not going to be easy, Jesus. But, oh God, only you know. So help us by your grace and by your mercy, oh God, to hold close to you and to ask you to guide us and to protect us and to carry us through this dying, trying time. So many death, so many unrighteousness, oh God, so many things are going on. Father, only you know, Lord. You see, we don't have to tell you. Because what is going on, you see, Lord, because the world belongs to you and everything in the world belongs to you. And what is going on, you know everything, Father. So Jesus, take full control, oh God. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof, and all of us in the earth is yours. Bless the young people, oh God. So many young people are trying to commit suicide and trying to do other things, oh God, that is not good for them, oh God. I put them into your hand, Jesus. Build a net around them, Lord. Cover them under your blood. Take full control of their life. Be in the homes with them, oh God. And wherever they go, go with them. Guide and protect them. And be with we, the elder one, oh God, so that we may show them love and respect. And trying to counsel them, oh God, and say good words to them. So that they may see Jesus living in us. Father, take this prayer line in charge. And use all of us to be an example so that others can look at us and see you working through us, dear God. Continue to be with the school, Jesus. Please provide a teacher for the school so that the school may reopen, so that children may go and get their proper education. Lord, be with the health food store. Brother Yudi and his family, oh God, I put everything into your hand. You know what is going on, Jesus. Provide worker, oh God, and provide customer. Lord, send your holy angel to encamp around that store, oh God, and let everything be done according to your will. Guard and guide, take full control, and let everything be done the way you want it to be done. God, be with each and every mother, every father, every child, all over the world in diverse places, oh God. Continue to provide and to open ways for them, Lord. Your hand is not short. And Lord, you wish above all things that all of us should prosper and be in good health. You wish that none of us should perish, but all of us should come to repentance. So Lord, open ways and provide, oh God, because freely you receive and freely you give, and everything belongs to you. So Jesus, open ways, Lord. I put all the pastors before you, oh God. All the elders, all the deacons all over the world, all over in all the churches, oh God. Heavenly Father, you see and you know, Lord. Put the government into your hand. I'm asking to go into the White House, oh God, and to touch them and to help them to come and to ask you for guidance and protection, Lord, so that they can lead your people aright, so that they may not go astray. Father God, continue to bless, continue to guide, continue to touch our body and heal our body, oh God. And if there's anything in our body that is unlike you, remove it, oh God. And let your holy angel anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Take full control, dear Jesus. Have your way, dear God. And when all is said and done, Lord, may none of us be found wanting, but may all of us prosper, oh God, and have your need, fill our need according to your riches in glory. Take full control, Lord, and be with the speaker who is going to speak tonight. I put the speaker into your hand. Let the speaker not be seen and not be heard, but let your word, let you, Lord, be seen and you be heard. Take full control, Lord. I beg and I ask and I give you thanks. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, oh God. Open shelter for the homeless. Lord, freely you receive and freely you give. You're the God of mercy. You're the God of love. You're the God of compassion and guidance and protection, oh God. Build a head around your people. Heal your people. Comfort your people, oh God. Don't a lot of people are mourning because families are dying, oh God. Families are sick. Lord Jesus, this morning I hear about a president, oh God, who have died in some explosion in their house. But he and his wife died and his son was trying to get in to do some assistance and he got injured and in the hospital, oh God. Father, take over, dear God. Take over, take over, take over your world. Lord, so many things are happening in the world, oh God. Anyone can see, even like a child can see, that something is not right. God, have your way, Jesus. Step into each and every one of us home and dispatch your angel around us, dear Jesus. Guide us and shield us from the hands of the enemy. Because his time is short and he's trying everything to devour your people. But, oh God, help us, Lord. Help us by your grace and by your mercy. Cover us, oh God. Have your way. Let your will be done, I ask, and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby, for tuning that song prayer and reading the scripture. God is able. You know, as you said, ask the question, does Jesus care? We know he cares for us, brothers and sisters. And as Sister Barnaby reminding us that he cares despite of what we are facing, what quality situation we are in, he cares for us. And he will carry us through. True, we only have to be faithful. So thank you, my dear, for reminding us. And with that song, your prayer, and also your scripture reading. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, be patient a little with me here. Opening this line. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters. Okay. 272-770, your line is open. Welcome on Advent Life. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Yes. Good evening, my dear, beautiful brothers and sisters. I love you all and I miss you. God bless you all. I'm so glad to be back on the prayer line. It's such a wonderful thing to be here with you and fellowship with you all. My name is Tymeco Preston and I live in Pennsylvania, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And I'd like to share a praise report with you. I was able to go and visit my sister. Amen. I was able to go visit my sister Elizabeth today in the nursing home. And she was so happy to hear from us. And she called and Sister Powell called and prayed with her. I'm so grateful. God is so good. And my neighbor, he took me to go see her. So I am so happy. And he brought her some nice things that Sister Powell and I put together, and for Elizabeth, like a care package, because different things she needed while she's in there. And I'm so grateful. I give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory that I was able to spend time with her to sing to her praises from the Lord and read the Bible with her. And I read the devotional with her, and she was so happy. I said, thank you, Jesus, that I'm able to spend time with my sister who's not feeling well, and she's in a nursing home, and we prayed with her, and she was so happy. So God is so good and so worthy to be praised. I am so happy that I was able to spend some time with Elizabeth. She needed that to cheer her up because she was feeling down and depressed. And sometimes when you're feeling down and depressed, you need your sisters in Christ to lift your spirits up, to read the word with you, to sing songs with you. And we can praise the Lord together and exalt him together. So it's a beautiful thing when you can spend time with your sisters who are sick and not feeling well. So I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and thanks. And I would like to sing a song, if I can, in my hymnals, Psalm 251, He Lives, to read a scripture in my Bible when I'm done. But thank you so much for listening, and I'm so grateful to the Lord that he takes such good care of his children. He's an awesome and mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my world's weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to read the scripture, if I may, in the Bible, my sister. I'd like to read Psalms 91, one of my favorite scriptures. Okay. Be with me as I read this beautiful scripture, dear Lord. Gives us hope and grace, dear Lord, to let us know that you are always with us. Please, Father, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and let the Holy Spirit be my guide and my teacher. I thank you for all things, and I put everything in your hands. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Amen. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen and amen. So thank you, dear brothers and sisters. God bless you.
Amen, Amen, my dear. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for sharing and also for singing that song, We Serve a Risen Savior. We know he lives. He's in the world today, and he lives in our heart. So we thank God, and also reminding us about, you know, how we should dwell, right, with him, because where he is now is in the most holy sanctuary, and he wants us to abide in him. And he, his promises is really true and sure. And I want to thank God for your praise report. That is a praise report in which God, I know God blessings fall upon yourself and your neighbor, to know that she took you to see your dear beloved sister Elizabeth in the nursing home. And, you know, the joy was in her heart. She was so filled with that joy when she looked and experienced, oh, yes. And she said she's asking the Lord to help her, heal her, so that she can come back to fellowship with her brothers and her sister. And she was in good spirits. So I just thank God, Sister Tamika, and your neighbor, you know, and for the wonderful gifts. Brothers and sister, our sister and brother is in the hospital. We are asking you, anyone at your own church or your own neighbor, and you know that, don't let COVID stop you from going to look for your family, because you know what? They are lonely. They are in there. You know what Sister Tamika said? She was distressed, depressed, right? And we know that depression is not good for no one. So we are encouraging you, if you have your loved one in the hospital, we are asking you, please, right? From visiting, go and see them. Thank you again, my dear sister. And 985-232, can you tell your name and where you're calling from? And also, praise report.
Good evening, sister and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. It's good talking with my brothers and sisters again. It looks like time passed by and it's been a while. I slept through the last week and woke up. It was too late. We've been having so much storms over here. And raining storms. It's just been pouring and pouring. And look like after my daughter picked up the children, I just passed out. Oh, they're so active, and all I could do is pass out. I mean, I've been maxed out. But I thank God for them, and they're just a joy to have. But after so long, they worship. They worsen an appeal. But thank God for the precious jewel. I would like to read a script, a prayer, devotion prayer. Dear God, hear my prayer and meet me in the midst of this troubling situation. I need your help. Come near to me and give me strength I need to overcome. You know how my enemies are treating me. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to defeat them and bring your glory. Thank you for being faithful and steadfast and never forsaking me. In Jesus' name, amen. We all can use these. Amen.
Amen.
We all could use prayers for all of us, and we thank God for his loving kindness and his just his love for us waking up, still here, and in the midst of the storm, he keep us safe because he's a loving God, and he just never leave or forsake us. So I've been just having a hallelujah time in the Lord. I had church three times today, and during the week I've just been having church, And I just thank the Lord. It's just been a prospering for me, just having church. And I just thank God in his word. So I'm going to let Brother John speak, and I ask for prayer for Advent Prayer Line, all the brothers and sisters on, all the missing members, and all the ones that are sick, all the COVID people, all the dismissed, and just all the four corners of the United States and all our members to come back. So we just want to keep everybody in prayer and ask in need. We all need, but just want to thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I'd like to say hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And I would like to give a testimony and just also a thanks to God and give him the praise. And I just want to share with everyone that, you know, I prayed on a lot of things, and it's like he answered all my prayers, you know. So I'm thankful for that. I pray for the more wisdom, you know, and an understanding, and he provided me with it. You know, I'm more wiser now about things, and my understanding is a lot better. And I pray to him about just inner happiness, you know, because I have anger, and used to have anger inside, and he provided that for me, you know, some inner peace. So I want to thank him for that, and I just want to say that I also just wanted to be able to acknowledge things more better and share the things I know. And I had to get wiser through him first and get more understanding and everything so I can also share it. So I thank him from answering my prayers, and it just goes on and on, the prayers that I prayed for and so many things he answered. It's just so many. I can't do them all, you know, tell you them all, but for now I just say those few things. But I'm just going to say he just answered like every prayer that I prayed for. And I gave effort to, you know, to doing things, because I know that he helped those who helped themselves too, you know. So I gave some effort, and look like the more effort I gave, the more, you know, the results that I got from his love and everything. So I just want to share with everyone, just pray to him and make, you know, he'll make a better way to you. I mean, you know, better make a better way for you and everything. So just saying, God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John Francis de Brenda, for those praise reports. God is so good. He asks you everything you ask him, you have received them, right? You ask for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and you felt that he heard you, your cry. And I thank God to know that, Brother John, that you are doing the evangelism aggressive by sharing what the goodness of God and what he has done for you. So we are so grateful tonight to listen to your praise report and thankfulness to God. Okay, I'm opening this line now. Brother Anil, our speaker is on the line, brothers and sisters. So I am going to ask you guys to be briefly. Whose line I'm going to open? I'm going to ask Brother Eli, can you brief for me? And I will open the other line, Brother Anil, asking you if you could do the prayer, the closing, and the next voice you will hear is our speaker. So, Brother Eli, can you be very briefly? 857, your line is open. 857-505. 857.
Brothers and sisters, I like to, oh my God, brothers and sisters, I like to thank God because God is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Mr. Power. I like to praise him because he is worthy. He's awesome. system. He's the Alpha and Omega, Sister Power. Sister Power, first of all, I'd like to thank God for his love, his mercy. He is good. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I have a prayer request before I sing a song before. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Listen, my mom in prayer, Sister Power. My mom needs a lot of prayer. My mom needs your prayer, Sister Power. Tell Brother O'Neill to lift up my mom in prayer. Pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. Pray for Brother Javel. Lift up Brother Javel in prayer. Pray for Brother Isma. Lift up Brother Isma in prayer. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for Sister Adelina. Lift up Sister Adelina in prayer. Tell Brother O'Neill to lift up Sister Adelina in prayer. Her name is Adelina, A-D-E-L-I-N-A. And pray for Sister Ebony. Lift up Sister Ebony in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Power, I don't know, can Brother O'Neill do a special prayer for me and my family and my friend? I want to sing a song, Sister Power, for the speaker at this moment, for Brother Akeem James. Brother Akeem James, what matter what you're going through, there is a God who will watch over you, Brother Akeem James. May God continue to bless you with your ministry, Brother Akeem James, Pastor Akeem James. God is good, Brother Akeem James. He is worthy to be praised, beloved brothers and sisters, because God is good. Brothers and sisters, beloved, have faith in the Lord because he is good. He is worthy to be praised. I want to sing a song, Sister Power, for Brother Akeem. Brother Akeem will feel blessed with that song. Righteousness be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everything around. Righteousness, peace, come on everybody. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Aren't you want to be a rider king? Aren't you want to be the rider king? Aren't you want to be the rider king? Oh, come on everybody, there is love, there is love, come on everybody, it's so much peace. It's so much peace. Come on, everybody, it's over joy. It's so much joy. Come on, everybody, oh yeah. Come on, everybody, oh yes. Come on, everybody, oh yes. Come on, everybody. Brother O'Neill, pray for me, Brother O'Neill, because God is good, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, I don't know if you have the name, because Ms. Sprouse mentioned for you for the name. Can you do a prayer for me and my family, Brother O'Neill?
Yes, Brother Eli, sure we will pray for you. Praise, thank you, Brother Eli, for that strong righteousness. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is our name. That is the goal. Our aim is for to cover with Christ's righteousness by faith. But the fourth angel message, you know, we have to be righteous in Christ. And thank Brother Eli reminding us that we have a lot of work to be done for us to be righteous as Christ and in Christ by faith. So I just want to thank you, Brother Eli, for singing that wonderful song and encouraging us each one, Brother Akeem James, and each and every one of us here. So, brothers and sisters, we just want to thank you for joining and also for sharing. Now I'm going to open this line, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill will bring his praise report, and then we are asking you, Brother O'Neill, If you could lead us in prayer, you heard the requests. Can you lift them up for me? And the next voice you will hear is our speaker, dear speaker, brother. I don't hear Sister Leola. 631-652, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Pleasant, good evening, everyone. Brother O'Neill. I'm actually in Brooklyn now, coming from Long Island. Had a health fair today, like a community health fair in the neighborhood. And to God be the glory. It was a blessing. You meet a lot of people, especially those of the world, and share to them the things that God has blessed us with in nature that they can use to help them in many situations, especially in illness. And as they were really appreciative, they were attentive, they listened to what we have to bring to them. I want to give God thanks for that. And it was very encouraging to give them books. And we did a consultation, an health consultation, blood pressure checks and all of that. And we're on a mission for God, especially in these last days, with the health message. And we know that the health message is tied up with the third angel message. And Christ meet the people where they are. And then after, he said, come and follow me. And I want to thank God for the blessing that we have received today, and how he went out and shared with the people, provide meals for them. And it was a rich day. And we ask you to continue to pray for us. We have some upcoming events in August in the Bronx. We're going to do some more outreach. And I've been invited to a lot of places to share the health message with communities, and we want to thank God for that, because that is an avenue to reach souls. There are many people that we would not normally reach in the spirit of prophecy by inviting them to churches, especially we see in the corona that the attendance to church has fallen by 50%. If we check, many of our church services have been conducted on Zoom and on YouTube. So we see that if we can find other ways where we can reach people, especially with the health message, everybody is interested about their health. If you believe it or not, many people are interested, because many people want to know how they can help themselves and get over ailments, and how they can prevent illness. And we point them to the method that Christ has left from Genesis, come back down to Revelation, the method that God has left for his people, and especially in these last days of Earth history. So we ask for prayer for what we are doing, and that God will bless our efforts. And I want to thank God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our Father, we want to thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you that you have so able to provide for us work, especially in these last days of Earth history. Work the while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work. There are many souls, O Lord, that are in danger, O Lord. And Father, the only way we can reach them is with the everlasting gospel. And Father, you have provided ways to the medical missionary work. And Father, you have invited us and impressed our hearts to reach out to communities wherever we are living in this position, so that we can meet them with the ways of God. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Father, we ask you to continue to bless this ministry of the Advent Light prayer line, O God. Forgive us in any ways that we have sinned, and come short of your glory, O God. And Father, help us, O Lord, to recognize what you have called us at a time like this to do, to impact the world for Christ. So, Lord, we just ask you to be with us, Lord. Bless us, O Lord. Empower us, O Lord. And Father, we want to glorify your name, O God. Father, we pray for each and every family represented on the line tonight, O God. Father, we ask you to be with the host tonight, Sister Powell, O Lord. I ask you to continue to bless her, Lord. I ask you to continue to strengthen her, Lord. Bless her effort, O Lord. Bless her ministry in Jamaica that she's so impressed to help those who are in need and to reach them with the everlasting gospel. And Father, we ask you to provide the means, O God. Father, we pray for the upcoming event in Arkansas, Lord. Father, I pray that you will bless the ministry in Arkansas, Lord, because you have your people in all walks of life, O Lord. We give you vastness of her history to work the fields of souls, to point men and women to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, Lord, we want to thank you for that, O God, and we ask you to continue to be with us, continue to provide for us, O Lord. We pray for the family of Brother Eli as we pray for your help. We pray for your protection, O God, over their life. We ask you to bless the speaker. Bless each and every one, O God, and let your name be glorified. As we wait on you, say thank you. Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Brother, thank you, my dear brother Anil, for sharing especially that report, you know, of evangelism, the Ed seminar, you know. That is really what the Lord have done, and he told us that that is the work that we should carry on in the community. And you know what? God is going to bless you guys and also those individuals out there. You know, they need to know how to be healthy. They need to know how they can get rid of, you know, diseases. So I know this is the time for us. And we thank you, Brother Anil, for sharing and also carrying out that work with the other team. And brothers and sisters, we asking you to lift up that team, lift up Brother UDL. Brother Udi has used in Arkansas. I think they are doing a meeting to their convocation with, you know, the group there. And he has quite a few individuals who have signed up to do the study. So let us remember them in prayer. And brothers and sisters, I have a little praise report. So, you know, before dear elder Brother Akeem James, I don't know if Sister Leola wants to say something here tonight. Sister Leola, if you want, can you press one? But I will just share this little praise report, my dear brothers and sisters. I cannot just keep it for myself. You know, I was facing a little problem here with my roofing over nearly a year. Eventually, I got someone, roofing company, in 2019, right? 2020. They're coming up to the end of, like, I think, springtime, right? And eventually he said he couldn't do it, that job, until, you know, in early in this year, in 2021. But eventually this guy, right, when the early part of this year came, wasn't saying anything to us. When the weather was nice, we call him, we can't get him. And eventually, when we do get this gentleman, he is telling us that the price gone up, so the contract that we have made, he has to double that contract. So eventually, you know, I said, no, you can't do that anyhow. You know, we had a little problem getting down back our down payment. So eventually, we got the down payment from him. And brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get a roofer for after that, but eventually it was so difficult. So yes, Thursday morning, I was going to do some heroin, and as I opened the door, what I saw a truck, you know, and it marked a roofing company, a certain roofing company. So I said, wow. So anyhow, I went out and I took my pen and my notepad, and I took down the name and the phone number. But I looked across the street. He was doing the work, and he was up on the roof, you know, some of the guys, them. And I clapped, but eventually I did not get them. So I went and do my heroin. And when I came back, you know, I saw him at the front, up on the roof, but on the front, I still clapped. And I, you know, beckoned to him because, you know, I couldn't talk that loud to for him. So I was way up on the roof. So anyhow, he came down, and I spoke to him about it, and he said, you know what, it must be your daughter. Your daughter just spoke to me a while ago, and I gave her my boss number to call, and I think my boss will check you today. So I talked to him. I said, what? Yes, I am going to allow my boss will check you. And eventually, it's time I reach inside, it was the boss came, and I told him about the job, and I would like it to be done. And he said, okay. And he went up on the rooftop, and he looked, and he came down, and, you know, a price was given to me, and the price was extra reasonable, you know, to me. And then I said, after he said the price, I said, okay, come, let us talk, money. I want my job to do. God is good, because you know what? I know it's God send you right here to me. I need a roofman for over a year, and eventually God send you here. So he said to me, brothers and sisters, this man came to me. I give him a price. He said, you give me up for your price. And I gave him just a reasonable price. And when I gave him my price, he said to me, no, I'm going to take on something more of that, of my price. And he did, my brothers and sisters, right? It was a comfortable price. So we set up the contract, and he said, I will be here Friday morning. I told him, you know, if you guys can finish, but Sabbath, I don't do any work, and sunset, you know, that's before sunset, you know, I would like the work to be done. I said, okay, that's okay. Whatsoever we can, we will do it. Well, anyhow, they came 7:30 Friday morning, and the team is a whole heap of guys, right? And they came and they went up and they started to work right through the day. But eventually, part of the job was not finished after when sunset, you know, for them to pack up, because I was there behind, that I know that we're not going over. Anyhow, they pack up and they leave. I said, Lord, please let no rain fall. And Sabbath, I'm telling you, call my daughter, them saying, oh, it's the Sabbath, but that is emergency. God is not going to do. He can come and work. I said, no. You know, and I asked the Lord to give me the strength that I just said, no, no work on Sabbath. No, I can't do that, you know. So I think around, so we had a wonderful day here, Sabbath day, no rain, up till I think it's 7:30, the rain started. And my dear brothers and sisters, I know the enemy, that's the enemy now. And after upstairs started to leak, brothers, my daughter actually got panic, and I said, why are you panicking? All I have to do is just to go and get some of the barrels and just set it in, you know, or the containers, them, and we set it. And I went, God gave me the strength, and we got the thing, and she do what? But she was still up. Oh, I tell you that the work was supposed to done. I said, that's okay. Just a peace fall in me. I was so peaceful. Well, anyhow, we overcome that problem there with the water. The water stopped. The rain stopped. I think I went to bed 1:30 Saturday night, 1:30. And I just pray right through the night. I said, Lord, help that we don't have any rain, because the guys will be coming 7:30 Sunday. Anyhow, my dear, they came and they went up and they did a fine job. A fine job, and the work have been completed. I am so grateful and thankful for what God. But listen to the praise report. This is a great praise report. After I gave him, you know, and he came up and, you know, go and investigate the job. And I said to him, you know, he saw some things there. He said, what are you doing with these barrels? I said, you know what, in my outreach program and what I have done, and I do that for the community in Jamaica, and I also have a project there in Jamaica where this year I plan to help somebody who burn out. And the guy turned to me and said, I will give you $500. My dear brothers and sisters, the young man gave me $500 towards the project. And I just say, thank you, Lord. I gave him my son-in-law, and I pray with him. And that guy was crying. He said the tears was coming down. He called me Mama. He said, Mama, the tear was just coming down after you pray. So, brothers and sisters, not only at the $500, but to know that God had brought somebody here to solve the problem, with problems and our burden, if we just trust God. Right at the doorway, the Lord brought somebody here.
to do it and actually, you know, bless me. So after that, brothers and sisters, all his workers, they spoke Spanish. They speak Spanish. And you know what I did? I took them down and I gave them what they need, some clothing, some jackets, some spread, some this. And the guys, them were so joyful, thankful for what I have done to them. I said, this is the Lord, my dear. So I'm asking you, and I gave out some Sunday tracks, like Sabbath tracks, yeah, my Sunday, some Sabbath tracks and the Step to, not Step to Christ, the that last the Sunday Law, the National Sunday Law. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, please to pray for that group for me, especially the owner, you know, of the company, you know, that God will pour out his blessings. So he said he did that all the time. And back in his home, he's a foreigner. You know, that's what they do. So I just give God the praise, my dear. God always pour his blessings upon his children, especially when he sees we are trying and to be faithful to him. So that's my praise report. So I'm asking you to pray for us, pray for the project, and also pray for those individuals. The book that they got is in Spanish, so they will be able to read and share. So that's my praise report, my dear brothers and sisters. God is so good. Oh, Brother Ani. Okay. 301. The next voice you will hear is Brother Akin. Amen. 301-640. Amen.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord for the testimonies and how God has been working. And this evening, we just finished off our series in Daniel chapter 12. And so at this moment, what we'll be doing is we'll be starting our series on the sanctuary. And I've entitled this series, Reformatory Movements of Destiny. And so today we'll be starting off part one, and we'll be looking in our Bibles as it concerns part one of this study. And so let's, as we go into this part of our study, let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you. And Father, I pray that you will strengthen us, guide us, and just help us to gain a greater understanding of your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So we'll be covering this, and this is the presentation that I went over a while ago, just to lay the foundation of what we'll be covering in this series. We'll go in our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And so in there, actually we'll start off in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It says there in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, speaking of the fall of man, there was a promise that was given in the context of warfare, a warfare that God was declaring against the serpent. Who sought to deceive, actually deceived Eve and led Adam into a situation where he manifested that he loved Eve more than his own maker. And so as we go into this, it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And then it gives this seed a pronoun. It says, it, that's the seed, shall bruise thy head, that's the serpent's head, and thou, the serpent, shall bruise his heel. So we're realizing that this seed is a coming male that would actually destroy the work of the serpent. Now, according to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, especially verse 9, we find out that the serpent or the dragon of Scripture or of Bible prophecy is none other than the devil himself. And so this is a promise through which God is declaring war against the enemy who has led man astray. And so as a result of this warfare, how is God going to lay out this warfare? The way that he is laying out the warfare in order to destroy the head of the enemy, that is to destroy the mind of Satan concerning mankind. In other words, Satan's plans concerning mankind. The way that God would destroy this plan is through the seed. That is through a male figure, an individual that he would raise up to destroy the mind of the enemy against man or his works. And that's why Christ was sent into the world, to destroy the works of the enemy concerning us. And so as Jesus did this, there would be a systematic way in which it would be laid out, whereby Christ would reclaim all that sin has wrought, all that the enemy of souls has laid out in order to bring man to a point of self-destruction. God would undo it through this seed. But the way that the seed would do it and restore man to the place that God had originally intended for him, the way that God would do this through the seed is laid out. This way of salvation, restoring man in the image which he was made, is found in Psalm chapter 77, Psalm division 77, and verse 13. So it states here in Psalm chapter 77 and verse 13, a very popular verse that many of us know. It states there, thy way, and the context here is the way of salvation. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm, check this out, redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. So we're talking about redemption. We're talking about being saved, salvation. How is it offered? And the way that God reveals to us how this, in the systematic way in which he saves us, in which he saves humanity and deals with the sin problem that was introduced by the enemy of souls, is in the sanctuary. That way in which God brings man back to the image in which he was made, fully restored without that image marred anymore, the marring of the image removed, that way of God saving man is revealed in the sanctuary. So hence we begin our study of the reformatory movements of destiny. Because what we're going to look at here is today we're going to look at the aspect of the sanctuary, but then we're going to start breaking down each portion of the sanctuary and then looking at how there were movements that were raised up in each segment of the sanctuary, and those movements were raised up to destroy the symbolism of the articles in each section of the sanctuary. And you'll see what I mean as we go along in this series, what that means. And so as those movements were raised up against the articles in each portion of the sanctuary, in the same way God raised up movements to protect the symbolism behind the articles. And so there, in each part of the sanctuary, there has ever been an attack on the articles through a movement, and a protection of those same articles through movements that God would raise up. Hence, the title Reformatory Movements. So this is in connection with the sanctuary. So as we continue in this study now, let's go back in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. So we've understood that man fell. God said that I will send someone in order to crush the works of the enemy concerning man and leading him into sin. But this one, the way that he will work, the systematic way in which he would work to redeem the fallen and to eradicate sin, this systematic way is revealed in the sanctuary. And so now as we look at the sanctuary, we'll begin seeing how that way is revealed throughout our series. So Exodus chapter 25, as we go to an understanding of the sanctuary. And this is ultimately what God is designed to do. We're going to see the overarching purpose of the sanctuary, and then we're going to go into details as to how God works out this overarching principle that he's trying to do for, with, and in us. So Exodus chapter 25. It says there in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 onward, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart you shall take my offering. And by the way, this offering was a part of the riches that were given to Israel by the Egyptians because they feared Israel because of all that God had done for Israel in Egypt before he delivered them. The miraculous plagues that fell upon the people brought a fear of Israel upon the people and a fear of Israel to God. And so when Israel was leaving now, the Egyptians gave them, actually were so afraid that they gave them of their wealth. And it's out of this wealth now that God says, take this, and we're going to see what he says to do with it. He says, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram's skins, dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood. And shittim wood, all right? And shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And with all of these things now, God says in verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So out of all these riches that they gained from the Egyptians, they were to take this and make a sanctuary, a dwelling place, a tabernacle for God. It states in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 343, for the building of the sanctuary, great and expensive preparations were necessary. A large amount of the most precious and costly material was required. Yet the Lord accepted only freewill offerings. So this is amazing. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering, was the divine command repeated by Moses to the congregation. Devotion to God and a spirit of sacrifice were the first requisites in preparing a dwelling place for the Most High. Desire of Ages, page 23, states this: God commanded Moses for Israel, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. All right? Now we're going to come back to this because the latter part of Desire of Ages, page 23, states something that we're going to see here, and this is crucial. So it says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's verse 8. But how was Moses, okay, gather the freewill offerings of the people. Out of that freewill offering, what you must do is out of that freewill offering, you must then make what? You must then make the sanctuary, okay? But, okay, I have the material and you're asking me to build a sanctuary, but what pattern do I have to build it after? What pattern do I have to build this sanctuary after? Okay, so this is the question. And the answer is in verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So you see what's happening here. God is revealing to us, and God is revealing to Moses. The sanctuary is to be made after a certain pattern, but the pattern itself was shown to Moses by God in vision, in revelation. As he spoke with Moses, he revealed that there was already a sanctuary in existence, and the earthly sanctuary was to be built after that sanctuary which was already in existence. So based on the heavenly reality, in verse 9, Moses was to make the earthly reality, a prototype or a replica, a smaller replica of the heavenly sanctuary that was revealed in verse 9. God says, according to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So there was already a sanctuary in existence, a heavenly sanctuary that was already there, and now Moses was supposed to make the earthly sanctuary and replicate it after the heavenly. So what does this reveal to us? Friends, even in these times of Moses, the heavenly sanctuary was already in existence, but it was not yet activated. It was already in existence, but it was not yet activated. God was ahead of the game. He had everything ready. But what he was doing is he says, before this heavenly pattern that I'm showing you is ever activated, before anything is ever done in it, I am going to give the people of earth a replica that will help them to understand what's going on in the heavenly sanctuary in the day when it is finally activated and work begins in it. So in other words, what God was saying is, I'm going to show Moses the heavenly sanctuary. He's going to build the earthly sanctuary after it. And all the work that will be done in the earthly sanctuary will help men to understand that later on, when the heavenly sanctuary is activated, they'll be able to understand what is happening in it. Even though they can't see it, even though we can't go up in heaven and see it, we can understand what is happening in the heavenly now because of what happened in the earthly then. And so this is why, friends, this is why it is a very scary thing today. You could see why then it is one of the devil's greatest goals within many of the Protestant churches today, not all of them, but many of them, to get rid of the Old Testament. There are many Christians who you hear, you're going to their churches, and as you go into their churches, you sit down, and there's a Bible available, but it's only the New Testament. I remember there was a time when I was listening to something from a preacher, and the news came out actually about a preacher. It was a famous Sunday preacher, and every now and then I definitely listen to him. He has a lot of beautiful things to say, a lot of powerful biblical things to say. But his son, the son of this preacher, the preacher's name is actually Charles Stanley. And his son, I believe his name is Andrew Stanley, if I'm not mistaken, actually stated in one of his sermons that we don't necessarily need the Old Testament any longer. We are new covenant Christians. And what we need right now is the New Testament. Friends, you see the danger in that now, all right? The danger is, the reason that the devil will desire, one of the many reasons that he would desire to get rid of the Old Testament, is because it is in the Old Testament the foundation of the sanctuary is laid. It is in the Old Testament that we see the sanctuary, the replica of the sanctuary, and the feast and works and offices that were done in that sanctuary. Okay? So this is why this is so crucial. It is in the earthly sanctuary in the Old Testament and what was done in it that we have an understanding of what is happening now in the heavenly sanctuary and what happened since the days that it was activated. So as we look at this now, we're going to look at the overarching purpose of this sanctuary. What is the overarching purpose of the sanctuary? What is the major thing that is trying to teach us? And this goes back to what we were looking at in the book of Genesis. You remember, in the book of Genesis, we saw that when God made man, according to Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his image. As a result of man falling, what do you think happened? That image was marred, right? So the image of God was marred in man as a result of man's fall. And that marring has continued to increase in its darkness with each generation. With each generation across time coming down to our days, each generation has become weaker as a result of the power of sin. And so what God is trying to do now is he's trying to restore the moral image, his moral image that he made man in. He's trying to restore it in him. So what does God do? He says, I will send a seed. And this seed will reverse the effects of sin in the lives of men and women that choose to receive the seed. Because this seed will be sent into the world to destroy the head, that is the mind, the work of Satan, the plans of Satan against human beings. So why would God do this? Because he wants to undo the work of Satan in our lives and to ultimately restore us into the image of God. And friends, to be restored into the image of God is salvation. That is what it is. For the moral image of God to be restored in each and every one of us, is to be saved. And as God is doing that on a daily basis, day by day, we are being saved. So it's not just that we go, it's not just that we say like other Christians, hey, I'm saved or I got saved. No, it is that the salvation process is continual. I am being saved. And as long as I stay connected with Jesus, that salvation only grows deeper and deeper until I am perfected, the power of sin broken, justified, but not just justified, but also sanctified and ultimately glorified, the character of God perfected in me, and then finally he brings me and you to the point where we stand upon the sea of glass, saved eternally. And so, friends, this is the goal that Christ, that God has, and that he wants to do through the seed. But friends, the systematic way in which he does this through the seed is laid out in the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. So as we're looking at the sanctuary now, we're going to see what it points to. So it says, and this is where we're going to go now in our Bibles, to John chapter 1. So this is amazing. John chapter 1, all right? So the sanctuary is revealing to us that God wants to come close to us. Because if God, the closer God gets to us, friends, the more of his character is revealed, the clearer we can see him, the more beautiful he appears, and the result is that we are drawn so deep into the revelation of that love that we are sealed in it. And to be sealed in the love of God, to be sealed in that revelation, is to be sealed into salvation itself. That's why God is calling us to understand the sanctuary, because it reveals that God wants to come close to us. According to Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So in the Old Testament, God dwelt among Israel in the sanctuary itself, right? Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So he's going to dwell in the sanctuary in the very midst of Israel. And that was done in the very major place, the Holy of Holies, the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. All right? So as this happens, friends, this is the crucial thing that we have to understand. As God does this powerful work, he comes and he says, I'm going to dwell among you. Now, the powerful thing about this is that we read in verses 1 to 8 that one of the things that the sanctuary would be covered in was badger skin. The skin of certain clean animals would cover the edifice of the sanctuary, and then God would be underneath that skin. Ultimately, his glory will shoot out of the Holy of Holies as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. So in other words, what is this saying to us? Well, the sanctuary is covered in the flesh of clean animals, and under that skin, the divinity of God dwelt, shooting out from a certain part of the sanctuary as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, showing that God's divine glory, the Shekinah glory, was resting in that sanctuary. Friends, what is that telling us? The glory of God was shrouded in flesh. Friends, the sanctuary in its entirety as an edifice was a symbol of what God would do in the future. Hence, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 14, speaking of Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh, and what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what are we seeing here? The Word, that is Jesus Christ, was made flesh. And how do we know this is talking about this Word is Jesus Christ? It says here, that Word was the glory of the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So that Word was the glory of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. Now, according to Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us there, John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, therefore, Jesus speaking of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this only begotten, that is the Word, that dwelt among us. Jesus says, that's me. Now, the word only begotten there actually means in the original Greek, one of a kind, meaning not that Jesus was somehow created or that at some point he sprung forth from God or that some kind of eternal generation from the Father. No, no, no. Christ was God. According to verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is eternal God. But what the text is showing us here is that he is one of a kind. In other words, as we look at the context of all of God's children, who are also called his sons and daughters, Christ is a son, not in that he was created, but he is a son in that his relationship with his Father is unique. He is one of a kind, the second person of the Godhead. And so in light of this, it says, this Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Not by coincidence, the word dwelt there actually means tabernacled. So what we're seeing here is that the Old Testament sanctuary, covered with skins, the divinity of God hidden within that skin, those skins in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, was a symbol that not only would God be satisfied to dwell among his people, but in the New Testament, he would dwell with them. Christ would take on human flesh. That's what the sanctuary was revealing to us. There would come a day when Jesus would take on skin. He would cover his divinity with flesh. Just as in the Old Testament, God's divinity was veiled in flesh in the sanctuary service. Jesus Christ said, I'm not only content. And friends, you know what's powerful? There's a statement from inspiration, and let me see if I can get that for you guys. Powerful statement. Because the very Shekinah glory that dwelt in the sanctuary was none other than Jesus. This is the powerful thing. It says here, and I'm going to read the statement to you guys. This is from Christ Object Lessons, page 288, paragraph 1. Christ was there, or Israel's instructor. Christ was their instructor, speaking of Israel. As he had been with them in the wilderness, so he was still to be their teacher and guide. In the tabernacle and the temple, his glory dwelt in the holy Shekinah, above the mercy seat. In their behalf, he constantly manifested the riches of his love and patience. Whose glory dwelt in the holy Shekinah? It was Christ, according to what we just read here. So the Shekinah glory was none other than the divine presence of the Son of God, veiling himself under clean animal skin, the skin of clean animals. Powerful, revealing that, hey, he's telling all of Israel, hey, one day I'll do more than this. This is just symbolizing what I'll do one day when I finally take on human flesh. And I will come and dwell not just among you, but with you. I will be one with you in that I will be human. I'll be just like you, except in the fact that I will never sin and I will be victorious over it. But friends, it is the sanctuary is revealing to us that not only did Jesus become the temple of God, because you remember Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again, speaking of his own body. But friends, Jesus then goes on to show us that it's not enough for him. He's not just satisfied to dwell among us. He knows that's not enough to reverse the power of sin. He's not just content to dwell with us. He says something more must happen. If you would go with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, and this is what the sanctuary is pointing forward to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is what it says here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, speaking to the church, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Friends, now hold up. Now remember, I mentioned a statement from the Zohar of Ages about the tabernacle, and I promised you guys I would finish that. So let me finish that, and then we'll move on. So chapter 25, Concerning that, you remember I was reading to you guys a statement from Desire of Ages. And Ellen White makes this connection as well. That's why I wanted you guys to see this. Desire of Ages, page 23. God commanded Moses for Israel, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:8. And he abode in the sanctuary in the midst of the people. Through all their weary wandering in the desert, the symbol of his presence was with them. Now here it is. So Christ set up his tabernacle in the midst of our human encampment. He pitched his tent by the sides of the tents of men, that he might dwell among us and make us familiar with his divine character and life. So you see what she's pointing forward to here? She's saying this sanctuary that was called for in Exodus 25 was a symbol of the coming Son of God who would veil himself in human flesh in order that in that human flesh he might veil his divine glory, but yet at the same time reveal the glory to us, reveal the divine character, so that in seeing that character, we may be drawn to him and then empowered by him. How? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Desire of Ages, page 161. For eternal ages it was God's purpose that every created being, listen to this, this is so powerful. It is not only us, friends, but listen to this. For eternal ages it was God's purpose that every created being, from the bright and holy seraph to man, from the bright and holy seraph, that's those angels with six wings, to man, should be a temple indwelling of the Creator. It's not just us that God is calling to be a temple. Every intelligent being that he has made and that worships him was called to be a living temple. Because of sin, humanity ceased to be a temple for God. Darkened and defiled by evil, the heart of man no longer revealed the glory of the Divine One. But by the incarnation of the Son of God, the purpose of heaven is fulfilled. God dwells in humanity. And through saving grace, the heart of man becomes again his temple. Now this point is reiterated in chapter 6 and verse 19. It says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. That price, by the way, is Calvary. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your mind or your spirit, which are God's. So you see what's happening here. God says, it is not enough for me just to dwell among you. It is not enough for me to just dwell with you. But through the love that is revealed as Jesus came and dwelt with us, it would draw us to God, that once again we can be a living temple for him, because now our hearts will be opened as we see the revelation of God's love in Christ. Our heart will then be opened, and the Spirit of God, who is God, person of the Godhead, God himself will come and dwell within us. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son now sends the third person of the Godhead. That what? In the Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the representative of the Father and the Son, God might dwell within us once again. Hello? This is what the sanctuary is revealing. That God does not just desire to dwell among us. He does not just desire to dwell with us. The only way that the curse of sin can be reversed is that God, as it was in Eden before man's fall, God must bring us back to the point where he can dwell in us. And this is what the sanctuary reveals. The sanctuary is not only a type of the coming Son of God who would veil himself in human flesh, but friends, we are the temple of God. It was pointing forward to what God wants to do in us. He wants to dwell in us by the Holy Spirit, who is God. And so, friends, the sanctuary, the overarching purpose of the sanctuary, what we'll look at as we now go forward, is that there has ever been throughout the ages, even in the Old Testament, that the Israelites, they might not understand the true purpose and import of the sanctuary. That in the New Testament, when the sanctuary in heaven was finally activated, that men would not understand its purpose. And so there were things that the devil raised up, movements that the devil raised up to attack this concept that we were just looking at. And there were movements that God raised up in order to show what God has always been trying to show through the sanctuary, that he desires to restore man to the point that men, women, and children may become a dwelling place for the living God. May it be our prayer that we might be a dwelling place for Jehovah, a dwelling for the Almighty God, that he might reveal his power through us. That just as he revealed his life and power and character in Jesus, that as the Holy Spirit, the representative of Christ, dwells in us, God might reveal his character in our lives. The divine character might be revealed us as well. Friends, this is my prayer for each and every one of us. And with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, O Lord. Continue to strengthen us as we continue to study these topics. And draw us ever closer to you, that as we behold the divine character of Jesus, that our hearts might become so broken and open that Jesus might dwell in us through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that as this happens, Father, that which Adam lost and Eve lost, that which had become marred might be restored in us. That which became marred was your image, and Jesus is that image. May we fully reveal him as he dwells in us. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear brother Hakeem, for this presentation. Lord, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell in us. And brothers and sisters, this is a subject, I think, the sanctuary message and study. This evening, we want to thank Brother Akin for this presentation. And brothers and sisters, we got a lot of scripture passage. I hope that, you know, we are jot them down and going back to study the sanctuary, because God wants to dwell in us. And if we are not, you know, come up to the standard of what his requirement is, you know, his righteousness, his character, he cannot dwell in us. So I just want to thank Brother Akin to remind us, you know, of that heavenly sanctuary, and also that we must study deeply and know that ourselves, our body, right, is the temple of God, and he wants to dwell in our heart through the Holy Spirit. So I want to thank Brother Akin. I'm feeling a little tired, brothers and sisters. God is good. So let us hold a word of prayer, brothers and sisters. And I wish everyone a blessed night. And I hope that we will go back to study this. And if you have any questions, jot it down that you can ask Brother Akin. Akin, you know, what you don't understand. Because brothers and sisters, this is the time we have to study the word. So let us pray. To God be the glory, great things we have done. Heavenly Father, this night, Lord, we come to you on this line, giving you praises for your word, your clear word in our heart. Lord, the picture that you have shown, Lord, the Egyptian Moses, how to build the sanctuary in earth. And Father, we have a heavenly sanctuary above. Father, we know that there is controversy even now about the most holy sanctuary in heaven, that a lot of us, even Seventh-day Adventists, Lord, is saying there is no sanctuary in heaven. But we want to thank you for your word, your promises, your encouragement, that to appoint us, Lord Jesus, that your word is true. And also, Lord, the earth, the sanctuary that Moses have built, is the same, is the pattern, Lord, to the heavenly. Now, dear Lord, the sanctuary of our heart, the sanctuary of each beam, so that our Lord Jesus will dwell within us, going to cover us with his righteousness. So, Heavenly Father, we know our desire tonight as we listen to our dear brother pastor that do this presentation, and his heart and his desire
is for him to open his heart door, that the Lord will dwell in him, that he will be able to carry out the gospel message and be a representative for Christ Jesus. And we wish the same desire in our heart, Lord, to be faithful, to be holy, to trust him, and to have his whole character so that we will demonstrate him and really be ready, that when he comes, we will be ready. So we want to thank you for this message. We thank you for every brothers and sisters who join here. There are various requests, Lord. We pray for Brother Akeem's mother. We pray for his father, his grandmother, he speaks highly about. And Lord, his community, the youth that he witnessed to, Lord, we ask you, as you are calling young men to be strong, we ask you to allow them that they will listen to your message. We also lift up tonight our dear brother Honeel and his family members and his church family who are doing aggressive evangelism with the medical missionary work out there in the communities amongst people who are not Seventh-day Adventists, and they are hungry and craving after the word, dear Lord. So we ask you to strengthen that team and pour your Holy Spirit upon them, that they will reach the community and your protection towards them. We also lift up tonight, Lord, dear Sister Barnaby. Lord, we thank you for her resources, Lord, that she has, and the presentation in songs, reading, and giving you praise and encouraging each one of us. We also thank you, dear Father, for our dear sister Brenda and Brother John, their testimony, the wisdom, knowledge that he has, they ask you for, you grant it unto them. And dear Lord, they are on the battlefield sharing your word. They are asking for extra blessings, Lord, of the love, that they will abide in their heart, that they will demonstrate it wherever they go. Lord, I lift up the servant here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. I give you praises and honor and glory, not me, but you, Lord, for the blessings you have done. And also, dear Lord, allowing this roof to be completed, I give you all the praise, and whatsoever you do, all praises and honor go to you. We lift up to you tonight, dear Father, Sister Katie. Father, you know everything about her, dear Lord. Her little two twins are grandchildren, one of them gone back in the hospital. Lord, you know everything about that young baby, boy. I think they're over two now, Lord. You know everything about them, and we leave that baby in your care this moment. You are the great physician. You love your little ones, them that you pick them up in your laps and they look into your face and you bless them, Lord, and you want us to pray on their behalf. So this moment I lift up that little one and the other little one that is at home. I ask you to pour your blessing. Bless the grandmother, Dominique, the son, the baby mother, dear Father. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will touch the heart, Lord Jesus, of the Father, and that they will come fully to trust you and to depend upon you. We also lift up our dear sister Tamika, Lord, for the missionary work you have given unto her, Lord, and the way in which she went to the hospital and giving praises to her dear sister Elizabeth in the hospital, and how much she was happy and joyful to receive the visit. So we want to thank you, Lord, for that. We lift up our dear sister Lynn. Continue to bless her, keep her, Lord. You are the great physician. You know everything about your daughter. So we lift her up in your care. We also lift up our dear brother Rick. Lord, continue to bless brother Rick, dear Father. As we pray, Lord, for his children. One of his daughters will be getting married, leaving home. And dear Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings upon them, upon her and her husband-to-be. Lord, we also lift up Ashley. Lord, allow Ashley to come back to church. I know the desire of Brother Rick and Mom heart is for their children to return back to you. I place their grandchildren to you at this time. Lord, and son-in-law, Lord, I place to you, Father, at this time is Mom. We ask you, Lord, for your love and your mercies towards us. Lord, we also lift up Brother Eli, our dear Brother Eli, as he pray for himself, his mother, and also Jahari, Hishma, Hebani,
and Jovel, Lord Jesus, and Daniel, and Miss Pasco, and all the brothers and sisters he lift up, Lord. We also lift up Brother Yudi with the study group, the convocation, Lord, in Arkansas, with those wonderful, precious souls who are hungry and thirst after your righteousness, Lord, with your words, Lord. We ask you to pour your Holy Spirit upon them, that they will be rejuvenated, be refreshed, and also to share your word. Lord, there are so many names. Sister Leola, continue to bless and to keep her, Lord, and help her, dear Lord, in everything you do. She was not feeling too well this evening, Lord, so we ask you to comfort and to strengthen her. And also, Brother Ray, Lord, bless and keep him. Lord, we lift up the Richardson family tonight in your care, Lord. For Elder Richardson, Sister Richardson, we lift up Sister Carla and also Sister Payne, dear Father God. You know everything what is happening in their life. We ask you to keep and guide and protect them and lead them, dear Father. I think they may be at the seminar, dear Lord, but Lord, we ask you to give them traveling mercies so that they will be back to their destination, Lord. Bless and keep, Lord, us, and we know that you are able to do it. Help us to trust you more and more, and we leave all our life in your care, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' loving name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank everyone. Thank our elder. We want to thank everyone tonight. Thank our dear brother Akin for that presentation as the sanctuary. And I encourage you again, go and read the sanctuary study. A little about the sanctuary in heaven and also the sanctuary that God have given Moses and our own life and body should be that portion. All right. Thank you again. Okay. All right. Have a blessed night, brothers and sisters. And we will see each other. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.